Let me play a song.
So
here's the song. This is the one that's been coming in the mind. How fun was that? Yeah. It's great. I saw Jay with his air guitar. Yeah, that's a great song from our youth, my youth. Some of I'm thinking Dawn, that's probably after your time. I mean, before your time. Before your time. But, you know, it's just, it's first of all, I didn't pick the song. The song picked me. You know, there's a whole lot going on there. I'm really happy that I waited to turn the song off till after we hear the breeze, the wind at the end. You know, it just gives that a ethereal feel. But it's just so cool because you know, last night we talked about this in general healing group. It's that seed of willingness that is in everybody. And we see that in this song and in all of these songs. You know, it's that Connie talks about it often, is the longing that you hear in these songs. But with Pink Floyd being on that kind of psychedelic edge of music, you know, it's like there's an acknowledgement that things aren't here, that things here aren't quite right. They're not quite what they seem, that we've bought a bill of goods and we're living that. And of course that was one of our themes from, last month's movie, you know, things are not as they seem. And everybody knows that, and everybody's, working on figuring it out. You know, everybody's, moving home, moving to a place of peace and happiness. In whatever weird way they're choosing to do it. but that just warms the heart. You see, it's, it here, it's 111, by the way. we're all doing it. Okay. And then the other cool thing that I want to mention, was, last night in General Healing, Dawn says it's 311 there. Well, Dawn, I think 311 is the number that you dial for more information. So you're in the right place. Oh, whatever. the other thing that I wanted to mention was last night in General Healing, we talked about, I had listened to Regina's recording of Galatians. And she said that that was the first book where she recognized a distinct personality in the voice, and she felt like it was the personality of Jesus, which, you know, cool bit of trivia. And then I heard her say about Corinthians and the teaching that we just listened to, the recorded teaching we listened to of the Tao Te Ching, that when she scribed Corinthians, she recognized the voice of the personality of Lao Tzu, the author of the Tao Te Ching, which, of course, as she said in that recording, is perfect because, you know, they're both about emptiness. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was really cool. It's this emptiness that is coming up again and again for me. So. See how I tied that in there real nice? So let's look. Didn't write this morning. I haven't written yet today with Inner Wisdom. Okay, that's my confession. Don't know why I shared that, but I did. So let's just start. Let's start with what I do have written here. And as I told you guys last time, some of what I'm doing in my journaling is, by the way, I need to remember, maybe I'll do it in one of these tips. I need to remember, and I'm looking at Dawn, because I know she comes to that class. And actually, a bunch of y'all do come to the General Healing Year One, Shauna and Jay and Rayla. I need to remember to have people listen to that recording we listened to today. Because I think it was really good on this awareness, watching awareness, the nature of presence, and journaling. So I think it'd just be a real good one for our, for that group to listen to. So now that I've said it out loud, maybe I remember. Maybe I'll just write it down here on the corner of my paper. That'll help too. Send recording. All right. So, as I told you guys, you know, I'm getting ready to do that teaching with Teachers of God. And so I'm kind of looking through the, like, the sample questions that they gave me and journaling on those. And the first one we talked about is, what is Christ's vision and how does one see through the eyes of Christ? And so I asked the next one, which is, how would seeing with Christ's vision change my life? And then I wrote, I have an answer, but I'll wait yours. But then I gave my answer anyway. And I said, my answer is that it would free us to experience what is currently beyond our ability to conceptualize. And inner wisdom said, when you come to me as the empty shell, you allow yourself to see not only the answers, but the proper questions that lead the way to your awakening. You have seen this process operate in the past with your journaling on surrender, and that's what we looked at last time. This question just came out of nowhere. I was asking what I thought was a completely different question, and then I ended up, you know, typing this question to, please tell me what surrender is. So that's what's being referred to here. So when you come to me as the empty shell, you allow yourself to see not only the answers, but the proper questions that lead the way to your awakening. You have seen this process operate in the past with your journaling on surrender. It is true you did not ask that question, but merely heard it asked in your mind as you sat with me. This is the way all of life would show up for you if you focus on the wholeness inherent in every experience rather than the agenda of the personal self. That's really cool. I mean, it's not, don't just give me the answers, but give me the questions, right? And it reminds me, as I sit here, of that phrase in the Bible, your father knows. Okay, how does that go? It was like the idea, I guess, was in my head, not the exact words. Jay's looking it up for us. He's going to tell us how it goes. Thank you, Jay.
Say some of the key words again, Jacqueline. I forgot.
Yeah, your father has knows what you need before you even know you need it, or something like that. Your father has. Anybody know? Well,
I think it's the verse where you're not supposed to give no thought for the morrow, for the tomorrow can take care of itself. The Father knows what you need before you even ask.
Yeah. How sweet.
But well, I don't know if that's, I'm paraphrasing. So
you did a good,
you could still let him.
On job. That's very impressive.
This is on verse 8 of chapter 6 of some book in the Bible, and it says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Therefore, pray in this manner, our Father who art. Oh, it's right before the Lord's Prayer.
Oh.
It's the line just prior to that. Interesting. So,
well, that is interesting. Wow. All right. I'm writing it down so I can look at that a little bit.
Isn't it Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew. Sorry. Yeah, Matthew 6.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Cool. All right. I'm just sitting here going, gosh, should we move to the Lord's Prayer? Or possibly I see Cheryl going through NTI. Yeah. Let me just take a gander at that and see if we go where we're supposed to be going or no. I haven't read Matthew for a while. All right, so let's look at this, Matthew 6. If you are to walk the path of righteousness, all things must be done for the reason of the heart. To do anything for a purpose other than the purpose of the heart, regardless of how righteous the act may seem to be, is to stray from your path. You could become lost there. Listen, let the heart that whispers truth lead you in all things. Ask of it and do as it guides. Let not actions blind you. It is not the action that matters, but the purpose that is given it. Your time with your Father is precious and holy, so seek for this time in quiet. Search your heart for what you would say to him or for what you would ask. Be not afraid of what you find there. Your Father knows your heart, my son, and he leads you according to your heart. But you may not know your own heart, so it is useful to seek there in quiet as you pray. For if you do not know the prayers of your heart, you may not recognize that they are answered. This is true desire, right? But when you seek out your prayers in quiet and ask of the Father based on what you find, you will see that your prayers are answered quickly. For the Father does not delay in answering the prayers of his son's heart. The Father knows that it is the heart that leads his son to him. That's really sweet. Cheryl, did you have anything you wanted to add? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you stopped right before that prayer that Anne Blanchard loves so much. She says that prayer in her opening sharing. But at the very end of the chapter 6 on page 18, it talks about in verse 25 through 34, therefore, do not worry about which way you should go or what you should do next. And this is what you talk about all the time, Jacqueline. I hear you in me in the head going, what do you do next? You know, because you do. You say it a lot in your sharing. And, and when we work together, you are a blessing, my dear. And then it goes on to say, instead, ask now for the surety of the light to light the way for your next step. So that's exactly what you were referring to. And then again, it says, listen in quiet to the guidance of the heart as it tells you where to place your step. So, again, I just want to share real quick, and I will later on, but this is exactly where I was at this morning with my journaling. It's like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to write. And I just keep asking questions. And so I'm going to refer to this. I'm going to start reading NTI again because I just love it. It really, really, really speaks to me. All right, I'm letting go.
Thank you for sharing, Cheryl, and bringing my attention to that. And now I'm going to go back and read the prayer that Cheryl was talking about. And this is NTI page 17, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray like this according to what you find in your heart. Father, let me know you. Let your kingdom dawn upon my mind, that I may be led by your will and become as one with it. Let me hear your word within my mind. Let my lessons be given me, that I may be closer to you through the actions of my day. Let me forgive myself as I know you have. Let me see my brothers as innocent as they truly are. Let us watch our minds for evil thoughts that would trick and blind us to the light within. And let us let those thoughts go so they may not cloud our minds from knowing the truth. Amen. Okay, that's perfect. Man, I feel that. Thank you, Cheryl, for pointing that out. Yeah. All right. So let's look. Yes, this is the way all of life would show up for you if you focus on the wholeness inherent in every experience rather than the agenda of the personal self. Together, we must begin to gently but steadfastly dismantle your belief in the illusory self you have built. Feel free to ask me what to ask. So I said, what would you have me ask, Father? how am I to come to know the true self? And the answer, this is what you are being taught now. It is this same practice of asking what now, which we just heard, right? It is the same practice of asking what now and not allowing your personal agenda, preferences, imagined needs and desires to forestall your efforts to discern the guidance given in response to that question. So get out of the way. Ask what now and get out of the way. Let everything else go. Yeah. I am that I am. I am that which is willing. I am that which knows. These affirmations are what you bring to your practice, what you bring to your practice of seeing. So let me read those again. I am that I am. I am that which is willing. I am that which knows. These affirmations are what you bring to your practice of seeing. Let these thoughts replace those mental gyrations that promise to show you what to do next. Remember to live into the expansion rather than shrinking into the contraction. And for me, I've talked about this a number of times, but for me, there's a real felt sense in that. And I'm sure I've correlated it before with that move from the head to the heart that's discussed here, you know, drop into your heart, look in your heart and see, search your heart for what you would say to your father or for what you would ask. Your father knows your heart. But it's this sense of expansion of, you know, the gosh, there's so many ways of saying it, I think, of expansion, of love, of extending, of giving. Is such a different feeling than the contraction of, I know, I got this, or I got this, you don't, or any, I mean, there's just such a felt sense. So it's like, you know, if I ever want to pretend that there's confusion, well, I can pretend it, but I know the difference. And I know it clearly. When I look at that felt sense of what's occurring for me at the time, and you've probably heard me say this before as well, the Course in Miracles talks about the body is a communication device, but it's not just a communication device between me and seeming others. It's a communication device between me and me. It tells me what's going on for me. Am I experiencing this felt sense of expansiveness? Or am I, you know, contracted? Correlates, I think, directly to, am I living from here, my head, or here, my heart, in any given moment? All right. And then, I said, okay, great. What would you have me teach on Sunday? What's the next question? The answer, always, what is being taught you? And then it says, do you see the yes, but? And inner wisdom says, this is having a personal agenda. When I ask you to go and do, know that you will have all the necessary tools and talent to complete the assigned task. I've already given you what you need for Sunday's talk. Draw upon my wisdom and you will be given more. Always empty. Always empty. Always look to see if an agenda or opinion is held about anything or anyone or any situation, and ask to see the question presented. What would you have me see in this? And I talked about that on Sunday morning, the agenda, you know, to not look like an idiot, to look like I have something to say, to look like I know what I'm talking about, all that stuff. And that all of that is contained in the, yeah, but I know you've already told me, but what if I look like an idiot as I'm scrambling around, you know, trying to recall it? That, you know, clearly that's not emptiness. Jay says he asked the same thing. All right. Yeah, but. Sure wants to know what's a yeah, but. It's often my response when I'm not quite empty. Yeah, but. You say that, and then I get there, and I sound like an idiot. Yeah, but. It's all good. You promised me you wouldn't drop me on my head. All right. Okay. So let me look at the, excuse me, what comes next. the next day's entry. What is the most helpful way of seeing today's lesson from A Course in Miracles? So I'm going back to the well, right? I'm like, I got to write a tip. So come on. give me. Tell me what this means. So I said, what is the most helpful way of seeing today's lesson from A Course in Miracles? And I'm being a little facetious about this, about going to inner wisdom, but this is something that I'm trying to work out. And Regina actually talked about a little bit about this in her talk we just listened to. Thanks, Don. Don said today's tip was a great tip. There was a little Jacqueline, a little Regina. Well, hopefully very little Jacqueline, hopefully more inner wisdom than a little Regina. But, it's funny because Regina reads the tips and she's helping me and Connie to, do this as a matter of course, to let this be what it should be. Should be, you know what I mean. So she's given us some guidance as we write these tips. And she's one the other day, she said, I particularly like, these couple of lines she quoted them in her email. And I wrote her back and I said, oh, that was pure inner wisdom, because I had, and maybe I don't know if it's one I've already read to you or one I'll be reading to you, but that was pure inner wisdom. That's why you like that. And I sent the email and then I went, wait a minute. I thought later, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if it was all inner wisdom, right? If I wasn't sitting down with my head going, all right, let me tell you what this means. But I struggle with that. But you can see that even by this confession that, or this joke that I'm doing about, going inner wisdom, going, tell me what the heck to write. Well, okay. It's okay. That's what it's for, right? But I just wanted to share the thinking mind wants to grab a hold of everything and throw it in the dirt and stomp on it a little bit. So I just want to recognize that's what's going on with that. I shouldn't bother inner wisdom with this question. This is something I should do on my own. It's kind of funny. So I asked, what is the most helpful way of seeing today's lesson from A Course in Miracles? What is meant by the terms guilt, hell, unloving, and love? And it's really funny to see this struggle come through here, because I'm like, I shouldn't even be asking this. I'm trying to get inner wisdom to do my work for me. And this is what came through. Type these words. Good. How gentle, right? How sweet. Oh, how you are loved. This is what you are to say. And I don't think I did say this, in fact. This is what you are to say. We can never recover what we think we have lost until we see that we have, in fact, lost nothing. It is this sense of loss, of lacking, that creates the hell in which we find ourselves. You must understand that the cause of the experience of hell is the belief that conditions exist apart from you and your thinking that permit its existence. So let me read the sentence again. You must understand that the cause of the experience of hell is the belief that conditions exist apart from you and your thinking that permit its existence. There is no hell. There is no world. It's so funny because this is so good. And then I go right back up to the thinking mind. You'll see that. But this is really good. This is what we're being taught, right? At least in these first, steps in gentle healing year one, this is exactly what we're being taught. But somehow I couldn't see it at the time because, again, inner wisdom says there is no hell. There is no world. The suffering we create, dot, dot, dot. All right. this feels like some sort of magic trick that can't be truly relied upon. So I just couldn't hang with it. You know, I just couldn't hang with it. I felt like it was just, you know, Jacqueline pretending to write something prophetic. But, you know, again, on this reading, it's just obvious that's not what was going on. But I did have presence of mind enough to say, Father, I forgot what to ask. Can you tell me what to ask? And then this writing goes to what's been percolating for me. So let's see what comes through here. You want to know how to let go the close association you feel with the person. Bring your thoughts to me where we will evaluate them together. We will not determine whether they are good thoughts or bad thoughts. We will merely determine if they are true. If they are not true, we will let them go. And I asked, how do we tell true thoughts from untrue thoughts? And the answer, true thoughts resonate within the heart. And that's really sweet. I realize that's the same thing that we read in Galatians last night, or, you know, the same summary of what we were reading in Galatians. It's like when you're tempted to doubt, look in your own heart and you'll see that this same knowledge is already written there. And that's what's being said here. True thoughts resonate within the heart. True thoughts expand from the center of the heart. True thoughts expand from the center of the heart and open the receiver to those thoughts. Let me try it again. This sentence is going to get read. True thoughts expand from the center of the heart and open the receiver of those thoughts to actual experience, rather than activating the thinker and scooping the thinker into a stream of thought. And I just think that's a real important sentence. Again, the difference between the head and the heart, but it's a very experiential explanation of what's going on, the difference between true thoughts and untrue thoughts.
Did you write that, Jacqueline?
Well, somebody here did.
What you just read, did that come through you?
Yeah, it did.
Well, goddamn. That's pretty good, woman.
Hey.
Jay, no cussing.
Goddarn. Goddamn. I take that back.
All right. Let me read it again. True thoughts expand from the center of the heart and open the receiver of those thoughts to actual experience, rather than activating the thinker and scooping the thinker into a stream of thought. Yeah. I mean, and again, we started to, Sean, it looks like you're writing that down. Did you get it, honey? No, let me type that here.
At least the typing would be awesome.
All right. Let's see.
Yeah, the ego doesn't want me to hear this line, so I really need to read it.
Well, and you can
see five times in a row, like Michael Langford. There's something that my ego just is like, no, don't listen. So I know I need to hear it.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, the same thing. I tried to read it three times before we got it actually read. So, yeah, let's see. True thoughts expand from the center of the heart and open the receiver of those thoughts to actual experience, rather than activating the thinker and scooping the thinker into a stream of thought.
Wow. After reading it, finally.
Got it.
Can I read it? Can I just read this out loud?
Yeah.
True thoughts expand from the center of the heart and open the receiver of those thoughts to actual experience rather than activating the thinker and scooping the thinker into a stream of thought. Mm. Wow.
It's amazing. Jay.
I gotta write that down better.
excellent quote, Jacqueline. I liked the part about, you said actual experience, which is synonymous, as I see it, to just contemplating this, to what we're talking about in year three, direct experience, because it describes a state where there is no thinking. And that it says here, true thoughts open the receiver of those thoughts, so that that implies a huge teaching right there, straight away, just in that part, to not the actual experience, to actual experience, consciousness, direct experience, like it moves you out of thought. So like, this is a good way of discerning, is this thought a true thought? A, does it scoop me up into thoughts? Or B, does it bring me into actual experience? So that's actually an excellent guideline for adding to discernment. So I like that. Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Jay. that article that I read on Sunday had a nice pictorial representation of some of what this is talking about. And I think, Don, did you post the link to that article when you posted Sunday's talk? I haven't looked at it.
I would have to go back and check.
That's right.
Maybe I did drop the ball on that.
No. You just said you were, but no, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I say the name of the article. If anybody wants to go get it, they can go get it. But anyway, I was looking to see if I saw that laying here, but I don't feel to go.
Oh, you mean for the weekly gathering?
Yeah,
it should be in there. Let me just double check right now, and I'll post it in here again.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, so it talks about how this, and again, gives a little pictorial representation, but about how this personal self, this sense of I, stands between consciousness and experience. You know, of course, A Miracle talks about it as a veil. So this is not new, but it's striking me in a new way. You know, daggone it, if I've been wearing blinders, I'm ready to take those blinders off. You know, I'm ready to remove the veils. A Course in Miracles, I mean, that's what perception is, right? That's what distorts this our real experience of reality. And it's so funny because when we read the Course in Miracles, when I read the Course in Miracles all those years, it just seemed like, you know, it said it wasn't a theology, but it seemed like a theology. And so I got all the terms together and I figured out how they all fit together. But he's saying something really, really simple. It's like, open your eyes. You can wake up now. It's time to begin to feel, and what I'm led to say is it's time to begin to feel my hands, the palms of my hands here on the desk, to feel them, not to make that part of this process of me picking up the paper or part of the process of me leaning forward. That's letting go of the interpretation. It's just this is what's going on. This is what's going on. It doesn't need to be defined by me. It doesn't need to be seen as something that may or may not get in the way on my way to something else. It's it doesn't need to be thought about. It's just experience. And all of that other stuff that would, the untrue thoughts lead me away from the actual experience. That's it. It's really simple. You know, we read last night, we read Michael Langford's instructions for awareness, watching awareness. And this is what he's talking about. It's really simple. Your awareness is here. Just be with your awareness. You know, obviously that's turning inward and being aware of what is aware. But golly gee whiz, don't you think step number one is being aware? I mean, really being aware without the filter, without the definitions, without the arm's length transaction that we try and set up? You know, not consciously, but that's what we do. And Cheryl says, isn't this mentioned in A Course in Miracles when we are at this place of wanting to remove the veil, that it, that is when God and Holy Spirit comes in and takes over? Yeah. Oh, Cheryl's gone. Yeah, Cheryl. maybe she's gone to go get her Course in Miracles. Oh, she can't find it. But I think that that's an excellent point, because that point just came up for me this past week. But Cheryl, if you've got it there and you want to cite it, just let me know if you decide you want to read that part. And I can tell you, I don't know if I've gotten to that yet.
I have my Course in Miracles right here.
She got it in front of her.
You want me to read?
I don't know. Right, I don't know what part she's referring to. Yeah, she's got one too. Cheryl, do you know where that's located? Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see if she comes up. Yes, ma'am. You're on. No.
This is amazing. This is where I had the bookmark.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Whew.
And this is the synchronicity, by the way, that we started out talking about, right?
Yeah.
This is the way all of life is to be lived.
And this is actually in lesson 47 on page 75. God is the strength in which I trust. And at the very last part, which is on 76, there's a sentence here. It says, there is a place in where there is perfect peace. There is a place in where nothing is impossible. There is a place in where the strength of God abides. That just touches on it. If you know which I'm referring to, I can't remember where it is in the text where it talks about, you know, removing the veil and then God, and that's when God takes over. I don't know. But that's kind of in a nutshell what it's talking about, right? I mean, that's what I think anyway.
Sweet. I'm going to let go. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
By the way, I see that Don posted posted that link to that article that I was talking about, Awakening from Our False Self to Our True Self. Yeah, Don says she's not quite sure where that passage is that Cheryl just made a reference to. But we all know it. You know, it talks about God taking the last step, right? which, again, is a good message for me to hear. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but I got to a place with this where I was like, you know, come on. I am standing right here on the precipice. Somebody push me off. I really needed to back off of that a little bit, right? Because who's going, So it's like all in good time, all in good time. So... All right, let's pick up with this again. True thoughts resonate within the heart. True thoughts expand from the center of the heart and open the receiver of those thoughts to actual experience. Rather than activating the thinker and scooping the thinker into a stream of thought. So I said, I don't know that I, you know, this stuff just gets typed. I don't know that I take it in when it comes in. So let's see what I said. I said a lot after that. I said, how am I to disassociate from the personal self's thoughts? I mean, there are thousands of thoughts that run through my head every day, from, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, to I need to do my taxes, to I'm hungry, what should I cook for dinner? While these thoughts seem idle, I see the I very clearly in them. I wish to no longer be bound to the personal self. How can I transcend the self that sets up these problems or even just narrates what I am doing? And inner wisdom said, good catch. Much of what you do is narration. This keeps the thinking mind in the forefront of experience. Again, it's what we talked about, right? The thinking mind is the mediator between what's actually occurring and my ability to take that in. The ability of consciousness to just genuinely have the experience. Good catch. Much of what you do is narration. This keeps the thinking mind in the forefront of experience. This allows it to access, this allows it access to the playing field where it can intercept experience, moderate it, and deliver it to consciousness. It is this role that needs to be eschewed. If you hear a thought, you must look for it. If you hear a thought, you must look for it. Respond to it by asking me what to do now. This puts the thinking mind on notice that it is no longer in charge. So again, if you hear a thought, respond to it by asking me what to do now. This puts the thinking mind on notice that it is no longer in charge. And again, even, you know, with this narration, what should we have for dinner? Well, let's ask. Right? It's not in charge. It's not, I mean, you know, it may be, say, hamburgers or whatever, spaghetti or, okay, fine, I got your opinion. What should we do now? So then I said, I feel to quit typing now. What would you have me do? And the response from inner wisdom, good job. Thank you for beginning this practice. I would have you write your email, whatever email that I had on my agenda. I would have you write your email and then take a break. So sweet. And then there's actually something here that I feel to talk about, and I talked about a little bit in today's lesson when I was talking about how A Course in Miracles, today's tip, where I was talking about how A Course in Miracles is an interesting mix of psychology-type language and Christianity language. And something on this day had me look up the psychoanalysis definition. You know, of course, that's Helen Schuckman's background. But it had me look up the psychoanalysis definition of ego. And the definition was, and this is, I'm like, oh my God. The definition is this. The ego is the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious. How about that? It's like, shoot, golly. That's what I just read in A Course in Miracles. That's what I just heard from inner wisdom, right? The ego is the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity. Well, shoot, I should have just gone right to the psychology dictionary and just skipped A Course in Miracles, right? but again, this reality testing thing, you know, when I was on the bench, part of what we did was these mental inquest hearings. And I remember in, you know, to determine whether people need to be involuntarily committed, whether they were a danger to themselves or others. And I remember hearing this term for the first time. They said, you know, no amount of reality testing would, this woman had these ideas that, people around her were cooking meth and that this was coming into her home and she had all this stuff up and, you know, and she was keeping her son from ever going outside and it was a bad situation. And they said, and no amount of reality testing would convince her otherwise. And I'm like, whoa, what's that? And so they kind of defined for me, you know, reality testing is, you know, bringing people proof, going, see, you know, so that they can get their bearings in what's real again, right? They can compare what it is that they this thing that they're seeing and go, oh, well, I can see how that doesn't conform with reality. So let's look at this definition again, because it says the ego, in addition to being the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious, is responsible for reality testing. So the ego's going, look, this is what's real. Look, this is what's real. That guy just cut you off. That guy, you know, is out to get your job. That blah, 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 blah. All of this stuff, this unreality, this is what ego's doing. It's bringing it to, it brings us the proof, just like Course in Miracles told us, brings us the proof of what is, so that if we get some silly notion that we may be more than that, it's going to bring us right back down into, no, look at this proof. This is reality. Amazing. And then the final part of this definition of ego, it is also responsible, the ego is the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity. So it's this, and notice that it starts out with, it's the part of the mind. And what we're learning is this is one more thought. You know, you can call it a cluster of thoughts. Of Course in Miracles calls it a thought system, which kind of gives it a little bit of form, a little bit of substance. It's one more thought. It's our go-to thought. It's the thing we keep going back to again and again, right? But it's just another thought. This sense of personal identity is constructed a thought. So that's why the Course says, you know, you'll find that you walk through it just like clouds to the truth. It's not there. So I'm out of time, so I'm going to stop talking. I love you guys. Thank you for being with me here today. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Awesome sharing. Thanks, Jacqueline.
Thank